You're listening to the ISACA podcast. In this Knowledge Series podcast, we're speaking with Steve Ross, author of the ISACA Journal's Information Security Matters column. His Volume 4 column is about remote work and the security challenges that it may pose. So to begin, can you talk a little bit about how the definition of work is changing and then how that changing definition is impacting security?
That first part of the question is not aimed at a sociologist. I'll just speak, or an anthropologist for that matter. I'm just a poor security geek, so let it go at that. But the point that I was making in the article was that in some ways what's happened in the revolution that's been brought by information technology is that there are many people who still go to work. They get up in the morning, they dress. In the old days, we used to have to put on a suit or a dress, depending on gender, and everybody would talk very nicely to each other in the office, and then they'd go home again to their families, who they saw less than they actually saw the people they worked with. Now, for many people, I'm one of them, my commute is the 5 seconds it takes for me to get up the stairs. I work from a desk in my home. As long as I've got a computer, a cell phone, and an internet connection, I'm at work wherever I am in the world. So though that bifurcation between those who can be anywhere, who are not place bound, and those who must go to work, as I said in the article, you can't make steel at home. You got to go to a steel mill to do that. And you have to go to the hospital if you're a doctor, and you have to go to the military base if you're a soldier, and on and on. That's an important distinction, and one that bears more examination, I think, in the future, as to what are the remaining security requirements for the place bound, as everything else is changing around them. But for those that I'm talking about who are place independent, security is based on, or has been based on, certain principles, many of which were tied to place. In particular, if you look at 27002, the ISO standard that is the touch point for all of information security, there's a whole section on physical security. And in each case, they make some very clear statements about what that place boundedness entails. For example, you'll see subheadings of physical security perimeter, physical entry controls, securing offices, rooms, and facilities, working in secure areas. You know, I'm stressing the words, but the point is that the security of the place is equated with the security of the equipment, which is equated with the security of the data. And that equation has been broken. It no longer applies.
What are some physical security concerns that arise in light of the mobile worker?
Well, I think the most important, as I say, is that the security of the information can't be bounded by four walls. And we spend, or we have spent, I think it's a better way to put it, a lot of time talking about data leakage and data leakage prevention. Because when we started using those terms, the idea that the information would leave the building was a concern. And when I say leave the building, obviously there was always remote access. But the physical instantiation of that information was within the building. Now I take my laptop, I go home, or for that matter, as I said, I work at home. That's all there is. Where is the meaningful boundary that applies to the information? I don't think it exists. Add to that is that ultimately there's very little that management can do if they're going to continue to work in that kind of place independent working environment, which, by the way, has major advantages, not only for the worker, but for management, there's nothing else but trust. You have to trust that the person who has the information will use it on a reliable, authorized basis. That said, that definition of trust has to be embedded somewhere. You can't say, I trust you. Hey, Joe, I know you. I know I can trust you. No, you've got to say trust means, in this case, you will use the data for the purpose for which it was authorized. You won't share it with anyone outside the company or anyone else who is unauthorized within the company, that the information will be within your possession at all times. Hopefully, would be nice to say it will be encrypted, although that's more honored in the breach than the observance. And so these points in which we talk about trust have to be tied down if that's going to have any utility at all.
And how might the changing way that we work affect business continuity management?
This is something that I've been dealing with quite a bit recently, and it's to me simply amazing how quickly the basis of business continuity has changed as more and more people in an office environment are mobile. The whole idea of business continuity has been, we've got workers in a place. When that place is affected, like blown over, burned up, flooded, then we need another place for these people to go work, or at least a subset of those people, so we can continue the business. Now, take your PC, go home, if you're not already home working from there. And if you have something you need to get done very quickly and send an email, go to the nearest coffee shop and do it. I don't exactly encourage people to do company business in coffee shops, but the point is that internet accessibility is ubiquitous. And with that, the idea that we need to find place, again, being place independent, disappears. The person and the data and the, to use the Marxist terms, the means of production are all physically together and not in the place authorized by business, not in the office, in case I didn't emphasize that.
In what way is data center recovery planning affected by remote work?
Well, it's the same thing, but it's the mirror image. If I'm going to rely on the people being mobile because they can work anywhere, then the central information systems that they access via VPN or over the internet using a browser also has to be there at all times, or the people moving has no benefit. I would say that it is increasingly rare that I find a company's data center in the same building where the people work. They tend to make them remote. And if they do have data centers in the same buildings where the people are, then they have another data center that's somewhere remote. Let's not get into the whole question of whether that's an effective way to do things in 2018, 2019. But the point is that it raises the stakes on having reliable, permanent, always accessible data on information systems because the people are mobile, simply because of that. You can't affect the availability of the business without affecting the availability of the systems and vice versa.
What are some security considerations that should be a part of a remote worker policy?
Well, I don't, you're entering into a broader question of what a remote worker policy ought to be. The first yes is how and where you're going to treat the information. Then, because I did raise the idea of working at a coffee shop, there still is some recognition that place has a meaning. That is to say, I don't want to work in an area where anybody in the public can look over my shoulder, hence the coffee shop. Usually unstated, because most people work on a company-issued PC, is that you shouldn't work on a shared computer, hence the same computer that your family uses for shopping lists and doing homework, and your 13-year-old for downloading rock music, and who knows what other websites your 13-year-old is visiting. Those are some of the areas in which this place independence butts up against the reality of the world in which you got to be someplace. As simple as that, you got to be someplace.
We've talked a lot about the risk that remote work may pose, which may have some enterprises nervous about moving to a remote work setup. So what are some of the advantages of remote work?
I think that for many companies who make an investment in real estate only to see either the office empty half the time or say, why do I need to spend money on desk chairs and square footage when most of my people would be just happy to work wherever they want to go? You know, having worked for many years in accounting firms, most of the people are out in the field visiting clients most of the time. So they've moved heavily towards hoteling. The idea that, yes, you can come into the office some of the time, but don't need to be there all the time. And when you come, you don't have a permanent place. Others are, you know, officially moving towards a policy of you can work wherever you want, whenever you want, as long as you get the work done. I know many cases in which people are in totally different cities doing whatever it is they have to do. There are many people who have no particular necessity to even be in the same city. They're hired, they're told, you can work remotely. If we have a company meeting, come in, but that's about it. And the expectation of what those people will be doing to keep the information secure, I must say, in most cases, is unstated, unspecified, and I'm recommending that it be at least at some level made clear to both the employer and the employee. But your point about people being afraid about the security, I think the day of the cell phone has put that concern way behind. The same information is available in both places, after all. So when they see the economic advantages of minimizing the investment in real estate, they tend to be just fine with it.
So we've probably all been out and seen people working in public places with what could be sensitive data. What do enterprises need to do to train their employees on security when it comes to working remotely?
You know, at a certain point, it comes down to don't do stupid things. You're probably aware I used to work for one of the large accounting firms. And I was in Chicago in the lounge waiting for my plane. And a woman came in and sat down right next to me and was talking on the cell phone just like we're talking, and she had her PC open and she was discussing a client. I reached down to my computer bag, which was at my feet. I put it up because I had the name of my company on the luggage tag, and I kind of showed her, and she got up and she walked away, but she was looking at me as though it was my responsibility to get up and walk away from her so she could sit down. And I said, you know, I've done my bit. It's the whole point I'm making with that little anecdote is that she shouldn't have been thinking about that in the first place. What is she doing in a public lounge having a business meeting?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, at a certain point, You don't need to write policy for that. You just expect people not to do stupid things.
And finally, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'd like to take it up a notch. I mentioned in passing in the article that I was going into sociology and that this is the Ithaca Journal, not the New Republic. I don't know if the Ithaca Journal is quite the right place for it, but I do think that Ithaca as an organization ought to be looking at some of the sociological changes that information technology, particularly some of the things that are going on today, mobility, artificial intelligence, robotics, things of that nature. What are they doing to society? And I think there is some basis for discussion within the group.
Thanks, Steve. And that's all we have time for in this edition of the podcast. If you're interested in learning more, read Steve's Ithaca Journal Volume 4 column, I Left My Security in the Office.